Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
In this fourth sermon now on the life of King Hezekiah, in this little series, God and King Hezekiah, our theme is God Almighty and Hezekiah's sickness and healing. God Almighty and Hezekiah's sickness and healing. Our text is from 2 Kings 20, verse 1 to 11, and Isaiah 38. There is also a brief reference in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24. But 2 Kings 20 and Isaiah 38 give us many more details. And truly, how instructive and God-honoring and faith-building also this part of Hezekiah's story is. There is something important, dear friends, that we need to consider before we get into the text about the sickness. And that is, when did this actually happen in Hezekiah's life, where he became ill all of a sudden? The way the story is told in both Kings and Isaiah, you might think his sickness came years after the troubles with King Sennacherib and the Assyrian threat. But the reality is, Hezekiah became deadly ill probably right after the major defeat of the Assyrians, as we learned about last time. We say that on the basis of the first phrase in 2 Kings chapter 20, the phrase, "in those days." The chapter before was telling about the defeat of Sennacherib and his army, with 185,000 soldiers killed by one angel of the Lord in the night. And now we are told, in those days, this also took place. And the text then tells about this sickness of Hezekiah. What confirms the timing of this serious sickness of Hezekiah is the fact that with the miraculous healing, we know the Lord also promised Hezekiah another 15 years of life. We learned last time that the major battle or threat of the Assyrians came right in the middle of Hezekiah's reign, as brought out both in 2 Kings 18 verse 13 and Isaiah 36 verse 1. We read in both those verses, "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." So what is most likely the case then is that right after the great God-given victory over the Assyrians, suddenly King Hezekiah becomes very sick. And what a trial that was again. As one put it, having scarcely reached the shore from one shipwreck, suddenly he fell into another, equally dangerous. Yes, this grim reaper of death would come and take Hezekiah now too, not by Sennacherib, but by sickness, it seems. In connection with this fact of sudden sickness in King Hezekiah's life, I want to give you here the commentary of John Calvin. He writes in reference to Hezekiah going from one crisis to the next, quote, "Let us therefore remember that believers must endure various temptations and trials, so that they are assailed sometimes by wars, sometimes by diseases, sometimes by other calamities, and sometimes one calamity follows another in unbroken succession, and they are laid under the necessity of maintaining uninterrupted warfare during their whole life, so that when they have escaped from one danger, they are on the eve of enduring another. They ought to be prepared in such a manner that when the Lord shall be pleased to add sorrow to sorrow, they may bear it patiently and may not be discouraged by any calamity. If any respite or rest be allowed, let them know this is granted for their weakness, but let not a short truce lead them to form a false imagination of a lengthened peace. Let them make additional exertions till, having finished the course of their earthly life, they arrive at the peaceful harbor." End of quote. Beautiful quotation indeed. What a reality check here is given us. Something to learn also just from the fact of this deadly illness coming over Hezekiah so soon after dealing with the Assyrian crisis. We live in times, don't we, when we so easily can think that we are owed a smooth sailing throughout our life. But the truth is, every day of our earthly journey, especially also for God's people, life is full of challenges and trials and battles of one kind or another. At least, if we will live faithfully and fruitfully unto the Lord in our generations and for the generations following. John Calvin and the Reformers, when you read their life stories, you learn too how many trials they endured, one after the other, as servants of the Lord, seeking to live in wholehearted devotion to God, obeying His holy, infallible, inspired word. Well, with this introduction, come now with me, dear friends, along with Prophet Isaiah, to the sickbed of Hezekiah. How wonderful, by the way, when trials come and God sends His servants, pastors, elders, and fellow Christians, to come and visit with you. What better than to have the ministry of the Lord and His word with you in whatever trials and hardships or good times you and I may go through? In this case, King Hezekiah is sick, and very sick. And Prophet Isaiah, hearing about it, visits with the king, likely, as the text implies, sent to minister to him by the Lord Himself. But it is not happy news that Isaiah has to bring, for what does the prophet say to King Hezekiah, as told to him by the Lord? "You are going to die, dear king. This sickness is a sickness unto death. Set your house in order," says Isaiah to Hezekiah, "for you shall die and not live." Oh, how solemn that is. And imagine being told this so directly, so definitely. We all know, don't we, that one day we will die. But to face death so head on and to be told it is coming shortly, "You won't get better again. You'll soon breathe your last. Yes, you won't live much longer. Get ready to die." You agree, that's hard news to digest. How does Hezekiah respond? The text tells us it fills him with grief and sorrow. And Hezekiah wept sore, it says in Isaiah 38, verse 3. And literally, the text reads, "Hezekiah wept with great or much weeping." When the text mentions Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, that should tell us he spent time alone with God, in fervent prayer, pouring out his sadness and deep grief to the Lord. Hezekiah was so sad that so early in life, humanly speaking, he would have to die when just 39 years old, and that right in the heart of his reign as king of Judah. Right in the middle of that reign, King Hezekiah had in mind so much more work to do and to be done in bringing the kingdom of Judah back to God and back to the true worship of the Lord and living for Him. Why would the Lord now cut short his life when all his reign, his desire was to glorify God and to bring the people in submission to His word and will? Can you hear Hezekiah's moans and groans in his weeping before the Lord? In Isaiah 38, verse 14, Hezekiah, in reflection himself, had written, quote, "Like a crane, a whooping crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me." When you read all Hezekiah's later reflections on this time in his life, it is clear, too, that Hezekiah was conscious of his own sins and sinfulness. And he speaks of all his sins in Isaiah 38, verse 17. With his prayer to God, as expressed in 2 Kings 20, verse 3, and Isaiah 38, verse 3, about walking before God in truth and with a perfect heart, Hezekiah was not pleading sinless perfection on his part. No, but only by God's grace, he was pleading his life of covenantal obedience and seeking in all matters to live in integrity before the Lord and others. And he was asking, did God not promise his care and keeping of the righteous? So why now was his life being cut short? You hear in his grief with the news of his death coming soon, he was thinking of God's displeasure upon him in one way or another still. And this too greatly adds to Hezekiah's sorrows. Something else, reading Hezekiah's whole story, it seems at this point Hezekiah had no heir to the throne yet. 3 years later, Manasseh would be born, whom we know became king after King Hezekiah. but that was 3 years away. And the issue here was not first for Hezekiah to have a son, but thinking of the promises of God that always there would be kings from the house of David on the throne. What would happen to that promise and ultimately to the fulfillment about the great son of David, the Messiah king to come as God promised from the line of David if Hezekiah now would die childless with no heir to the throne. You see, all this and more no doubt was involved in Hezekiah's outpouring of sorrow and grief before the Lord, being told by Isaiah as God's spokesman he would not get better but would die. How instructive to read this response of Hezekiah to his sad news. What do we do, you and I, with whatever sad news comes our way, whether in regards to ourselves, or to our loved ones, or to difficult situations in family, or church, or country, or world? Is your first and primary refuge in time of need the Lord? Isn't this what the Bible urges from the first chapters in Genesis and all throughout till the last chapters in Revelation? In Psalm 50, verse 15, you have that urgent text invitation from the Lord. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Psalm 46, verse 1 declares the testimony of God's people. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Is this too your and my testimony by God's grace as confessing Christians in our day? If it is not so, will you not learn from our text passage? There's no better or greater hearer of prayer than God the Lord, and no better or greater helper either. Here I come also to the next main point, considering not just the sad news with Hezekiah's sickness, but listen now to the good news with Hezekiah's healing. The good news. We are told that upon Hezekiah's prayer and plea before the Lord, God again sends Isaiah back to Hezekiah. And this time the prophet may come and bring more happy news indeed. For we are told God heard Hezekiah's prayer and would answer it positively in restoring Hezekiah to good health and indeed giving him another 15 years to live. It's not quite clear how much time there was between the two visits of Isaiah to Hezekiah. The passage in 2 Kings suggests and implies, however, it wasn't too long a time. After the first visit, Hezekiah broke out in private personal prayer and petition before the Lord. And it seems from the text in 2 Kings 20 verse 4 that even before Isaiah had made it to his own home again, he was being sent back to the king. The Lord tells Isaiah, according to 2 Kings 20 verse 5, "Turn again. And tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto your days 15 years. And I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." And Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Oh, what a turnaround for King Hezekiah! Can't you imagine? You may ask, why would the Lord have led him to go through such a trial, even unto death, and then upon prayer, turn around and spare his life, giving Hezekiah another 15 years of life? Is it one reason this, that here we see someone pleading in prayer to God, and God hearing that prayer? Oh, just to promote true prayer to God, this history about King Hezekiah in a time of great need in his life speaks volumes. Too often, we can think and act as if the Lord doesn't really hear us when we pray and he doesn't truly care. But as one commentator so beautifully put it in this connection, quote, "Apparently, yes, learn this from our text, the Lord loves to lift our anguish. And our prayers matter to him." End of quote. Truly, the Lord hears our prayers, and as the psalmist of Psalm 116 states, "He inclines his ear to us when we pray." And he is not reluctant, nor uncaring, or unable to help. Here the lines of John Newton come to mind. "Come, my soul, thy suit or need prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid you pray. Therefore, he will not say you nay. You are coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Something else about why God let this all happen to King Hezekiah. It's so that we might see again and learn, don't you think, more what a gracious and great and glorious God is the Lord God of the Bible. For think here how the Lord not only in an almighty way miraculously heals Hezekiah, but he remembers his covenant promises and his gospel promises, doesn't he? Notice the reference to David by Isaiah in Isaiah 38 verse 5. Isaiah there calls God the God of David. Why? Because God had promised David that of his family line, the promised seed would come, and one day the great son of David, the royal Messiah himself, would be born. And Isaiah's mention of David here brings all that to mind. And with God's answer, don't we see God seeking and showing to be faithful and true to his covenant promises? And notice too that while his faithfulness to his promises is not dependent on the prayers of his people, yet that he will make use of the prayers of his people in the fulfillment of his promises. Oh, how reliable God is in himself, but how he teaches us here. He delights in the prayers of his people, and he works also through and in line with his people calling upon him and pleading his promises and his word in all their needs. In the Isaiah passage, chapter 38, verse 9 to 20, we are given a whole song of prayer that Hezekiah wrote out in reference to his sickness and healing before God. And surely it is meant to teach us that God is so great and faithful and good and kind, and how good and right ever to rely on him and to devote ourselves to him in all our ways, in all our needs. In the last verse of that thanksgiving song, Hezekiah testifies, quote, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore will we sing songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." Thinking of God's greatness through this whole event, there is not just the miraculous physical healing of Hezekiah to consider. No, but notice what greater good news Hezekiah so rejoices in, as expressed in verse 17 of Isaiah 38. "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness," Hezekiah states. "But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Isn't that the best news ever, dear friends? With the Lord there is forgiveness of all our sins, and with God is victory even over death. The wages of sin is death, but God forgives his people their sins, and he conquers death on behalf of sinners. Hezekiah could not understand this gospel as clearly as we can in our New Testament age, after Jesus' death and resurrection on sinners' behalf. But Hezekiah already knew enough that, as the psalmist testified in Psalm 130, he knew, "With the Lord is plenteous redemption for his people, for all who call upon him in repentance and faith." We know that ultimately this all could be so and is truly so till the last day because of Christ's coming, yes, to this earth, sent of the Father and anointed by the Holy Spirit to serve as Savior of sinners. What a precious, perfect, all-powerful Savior and refuge we find with the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and yes, of David and of Hezekiah too, and indeed for all who trust and follow him. So the good news that God sends through Isaiah shows how he, the Lord, is a prayer-hearing God and a prayer-answering God. And it shows too the great graciousness and goodness of God in faithfulness to his covenant promises and the full salvation he would bring in Jesus. And then there's something else yet. Notice, wouldn't you agree, this whole part of Hezekiah's life, his sickness and healing by God's mercy, it shows so much as well, the almighty strength and power of God. The Lord gave the healing, and then he was pleased also to use some figs as a medicine or salve to further restore to health the open sores from the sickness. But not only that, even more yet, there is in this case also the amazing sign of the sun's shadow going back 10 degrees, or literally 10 steps on the sundial. This is part of the whole story of Hezekiah's healing. And here, think of a mound in an open area with steps on all sides, and the shadow from the sun falling on those steps as the day progresses. We are told in 2 Kings 20, verse 11, that Hezekiah's father, had indeed made this clock system, maybe in a park of some kind. When Hezekiah asked for a sign then, that indeed God would heal him and restore him to full health, Hezekiah asked him for a sign, not from lack of faith, but in faith, and for more confidence in God and His word. For we need to realize here, the Lord's promise of healing was not only surprising, but staggering, seeing Isaiah had just said that not only would Hezekiah be healed quickly, but also completely. And on the third day, he could already go to the temple again to worship the Lord. So a sign is requested, you see, to build Hezekiah's confidence in this promise of God. And apparently from 2 Kings 20 verse 9, we learn Hezekiah is given a choice. What shall God do for a sign for Hezekiah? Have the shadow go forward 10 steps or backwards 10 steps? 10 steps up or 10 steps down? Hezekiah reasons wrongly, I think, that it is more significant to see the shadow go backward 10 steps than go forward 10 steps. So he asks what he thought would be the harder. And upon Isaiah's prayer to God to do so, the shadow in an instant of time fell back 10 steps instead of forward. Well, we cannot be sure of what this exactly all means, but that it was no natural affair and another great miracle of God in the realm of nature is very clear. It was a miracle of God Almighty. And doesn't it help bring out how God overall will stop at nothing to be the helper and comforter of His people? And He is mighty to save and ready to help all who trust and follow Him. And again, in our New Testament age, we can know this so much more and better than even in Hezekiah's time. Truly in and through Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinners, the royal seed of David, also through the line of Hezekiah, God is able and willing to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think in regards to all our needs for body and soul and in life and death and for time and eternity. All God's people, saved by grace through faith in Christ, will say in glory, the half hasn't been told us about the fullness and preciousness of our Savior God and His salvation and provision for us. It is unbelievable. It is tremendous. All praise and glory and thanksgiving be to our God, triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Oh, will you be there too, in that final day, among the assembly of the redeemed, saved by our Savior God, as revealed in the crucified and risen Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ, the Lord? To help answer that question, let us move yet to our third and last main point. God Almighty and Hezekiah's sickness and healing has been our theme. We have thought about the sad news with his sickness, then the good news with his healing, and lastly now, the great news with his remaining years. The great news with his remaining years. Here let me just highlight the great news, something easily missed, how in addition to the healing and confirmation of complete healing with a special sign in the realm of nature, the Lord also gave the additional promise as told in 2 Kings 20, verse 6. What does God promise there? The Lord promises Hezekiah further complete success and triumph over the Assyrians. How reassuring wouldn't that have been for King Hezekiah, even after the great victory over the Assyrians earlier? To know from God we may have victory over our enemies in life, how comforting this surely is. Don't you agree? But here I want to bring out how with the great news with Hezekiah's remaining years, those extra 15 years given to him, we learn from the whole event and all that Hezekiah wrote about it too, that he wanted those years to be all in devotion and service to the Lord. His song of praise in Isaiah 38 certainly testifies to this. Hezekiah had asked to live longer, not because he wanted to enjoy life for himself, but for the kingdom of God and the service of the Lord. And you see, this is a mark of true faith and repentance before God. Where that is present in our lives, that is, living in true faith and repentance before the Lord, then there is the fruit also by God's grace of wanting to live a life of thankful obedience, all to God's praise and honor and for our neighbor's good, seeking to be a light of the gospel to the world around us. Is the same your response by God's grace? For all the mercies and benefits and multitude of loving kindnesses shown to you. Serving the idol gods of this world brings us no true help and no eternal deliverance and no ultimate hope. But trusting and following the one true God, as revealed in Scripture, and the Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ, oh, that is the way of true and everlasting blessing and of being a blessing in our generations and following, to the praise of God and the well-being of all around us. This contrast comes out also when Isaiah ends chapter 37 with Sennacherib in his idol temple, worshipping a false god and being slain even by his own children. Meanwhile, Isaiah 38 ends with Hezekiah wanting to go and be in the house of the Lord, for to worship him in and through whom he found life, abundant life, and even eternal life, fullness of life, and everlasting life. Hezekiah's life story, including this part about God Almighty and his sickness and healing, you see it with me, shows so clearly that when we are in the way of grace, then there's also this God-work desire and fruit of grace that desires and resolves to live for God's glory and praise and for the extension of his church and kingdom. That becomes our passion in life. Is it your passion? Let no one deceive themselves in thinking you can be saved still without any care and prayer to live looking to Jesus and to live sanctified, godly lives before God and our neighbor in honor to the Savior and in testimony of him. Oh, may God bless this sermon then by his Holy Spirit, that we not only learn the gospel lessons from Hezekiah's life for ourselves personally, but that we live as long as God gives us to help promote his gospel cause and his church and kingdom in line with all his holy word and will in Christ Jesus. Isn't the Lord again calling us all to this? May none of you disregard his call, but learn from Hezekiah's life story, also from his sickness. Learn while it's yet the day of grace. Learn while you still have life, for who knows how suddenly we may fall sick unto death, or may meet death suddenly with no warning at all. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Amen.
Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.